Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
All right, before we read our scripture tonight, this is our prophetic timeline here. What do we have right here? Rapture. Remember 2 weeks ago, two Sunday nights ago, we talked about the rapture? Y'all remember that? Or have you forgotten about it? Hope you hadn't forgotten about it because he's coming. And I believe any day now, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. You're going to be... Our dead loved ones who are in Christ, their spirit's going to be reunited with their body. They're going to get a glorified body, just like the body of Jesus. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to receive our glorified body. You can't go to heaven in the shape that we're in right now, see. We got to have a new body that's not doesn't have the curse of sin. And so the rapture's going to happen, poof! And then what we got right here? 7 years of what? Yes. And then, boom, what's going to happen right here? Yes, the return of Christ with the saints. And then after that battle of Armageddon that we talked about, it's going to be over in a New York second. And then Christ is going to set up his what? 1,000-year millennial reign. And we're going to reign and rule with him. I said, we're going to reign and rule with him. Somebody here may get to be the mayor of Clarksville or maybe a state senator or the governor of Tennessee. I don't know. We're going to reign and rule with him. And then here, what do we got? What's the last thing on the prophetic calendar? Yes, the great white throne judgment, then the new heavens and the new earth. And oh, that's going to be sweet. So we've got a lot to talk about over the next several months on Sunday nights. But tonight, here's what I thought we'd do. We talked about the rapture last week. And someone asked me, what are we going to be doing? There's $100 to Lottie Moon. Lottie is going to get wealthy by Christmas time. All right. someone asked me, what are we going to be doing for 7 years? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the 7-year celebration. It's not the 7-year itch, it's the 7-year celebration. Now, I mean, hell itself is going to be breaking loose down here on earth. The great tribulation and God's judgment and wrath will be poured out on this planet. And there will be, and we'll talk about that as we move through this prophetic study in the book of Revelation. But tonight, I want to talk to you about this 7-year celebration. I'm not going to ask you to stand. We're going to read a lot of scripture tonight. And so your fingers need to be limbered up. First of all, let's start with Revelation 4 and verse 10. Well, let's start at verse 9. Revelation 4 and verse 9 says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, John's seeing how worship is in heaven right here, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And you need to pack this away. We're going to come back to this tonight. And cast their crowns before the throne. All right, now turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And let's look at verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad, Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the what? The marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has made herself ready. Did you hear that? There's a marriage ceremony coming. And a marriage celebration coming. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Pack that away. We're going to come back to that. The fine linen, did you get that? Is the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Father, help us tonight. One more time, we just want to ask your help. I need your help tonight to rightly divide the word of truth. And I just say amen to the prayer that's already been prayed. Lord, we can't pray enough, we can't thank you enough, and we can't praise you enough. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do here tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask it. All God's children said, amen. Amen. All right, rapture has happened. We're with the Lord, okay? Now, I don't believe, it's my personal opinion, we are not going to go through the great tribulation. I think that's for the earth dwellers. Well, why do you say that? Well, you remember last week, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at Revelation 4 and verse 1. You don't see the church again in the book of Revelation until chapter 19. Now, don't you think if the church was here during the Great Tribulation, we'd hear about that? You don't hear about the church again until Revelation chapter 19. And let me just give you a couple other scriptures. Since we're right there at Revelation 4, look at Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. What's he talking about there? The great tribulation. The hour of trial that shall come upon the whole world. I think he's talking about the great tribulation. And so the church will be kept from that hour of trial to test those who dwell on the earth. And if that's not enough fodder for you, turn left in your Bible real quickly to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. Now, if you get tired of thumbing your pages tonight, just get your pen and write these scriptures down, and you can look at them later. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. Now, the context of this passage is the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord. This is about end time events. And the scripture says there in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 5, for God did not appoint us to wrath. Did you hear that? God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the fact that you don't see the church in view from chapter 4:1 until Revelation 19, and these two verses about the wrath and the judgment of God, I believe we're going to be with the Lord. Now that's my personal opinion. And you can make a case for some of these others, but I believe this is the strongest case for us. We're going to be with the Lord for how long? For 7 years. And so for 7 years, while God's wrath and judgment is going to be poured out on earth, what are we going to be doing? Well, you may not understand this tonight, but let me tell you, we are the bride of Christ. Where'd you get that, Brother Cal? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Now, we are seen as the bride of Christ in a lot of the scriptures in the Old Testament. This is one that really jumps out at me. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. You see that all throughout Scripture. We are the bride of Christ. Well, you may think, I don't look much like a bride tonight. You will. We are the bride of Christ. Now, in order, this, and so if you've got a bride, and who's the groom? No. Who's the groom? Christ. We're the bride. The church is the bride. Christ is the groom. The marriage has not taken, the marriage ceremony has not taken place yet. Now, let me give you some really cool information tonight about a Jewish wedding, okay? Because that's what's on their minds here. I mean, this is their culture, and this is what they grew up in. In a Jewish marriage, There's three stages to a Jewish marriage. One is the betrothal period. Secondly, is the, how do I say this nice? Well, the wedding ceremony itself. And then the wedding celebration, which would often last up to a week, 7 days. That depended somewhat on the groom's ability and finances to take care of the celebration. You remember when Jesus was at the wedding at the in Cana of Galilee and the host ran out of wine? You remember that? That was embarrassing. That was a week-long celebration. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. And so, and here's how a Jewish ceremony kind of took place and how things would come together. The father of the bride and the father of the groom would get together. How many of you parents like that? And they would agree that this was going to be a good match, that this was going to be an advantageous relationship. And so once they agreed that their kids were going to be married, the father of the bride, and most of the time the father of the groom would begin to go back and prepare a house, a dwelling, a place for them to live. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 14? I go to prepare a for you. You see how this is fitting together? And so this Jewish marriage thing is heavy in context here, and I wanted you all to get this. And and so during this betrothal period, the couple would really get to know one another. But now the marriage was not consummated yet, okay? That took place after the ceremony. And the groom would then begin to get their home prepared, a place for the couple to live, and she'd begin preparing her wedding gown. And, you know, and I know how all you girls like to do that. And then when the groom's father was satisfied that everything was ready, he would tell his son, "Son, it's time to go get your bride." And so the groom and the best man would go through town to where the bride lived, and the groom's best man would announce to the village in the city, "The bridegroom cometh! Here comes the bridegroom." And so he would get to the father of the bride's house and take that bride to a ceremony. The rabbis normally had a marriage ceremony, and then they would go to a quiet, secluded, secret place and consummate the marriage. And then the celebration was on. Sometimes it would last for 3 or 4 days. Sometimes it would last for 7 days, you know. It just depended on the financial well-being of the groom and his ability to pay. If it was, you know, if it would have been me, we'd have probably gone to Crystals. But anyways, the church, you see, guess which one of those stages the church is in right now? We're the bride of Christ. He's the groom. We're in the betrothal period. Y'all got that? We're in the engagement period. And but soon, and very soon, I believe the Father is going to look over at the son and say, "Son, it's time to go get your bride." And oh, when he does, boom, then all of these things begin to take place and come to pass. Now, right now we're preparing our wedding gowns. I said right now we're preparing our wedding gowns. And remember, what is the wedding gown? Fine linen, which are what? And white, which is what? The righteous acts of the saints. Have y'all forgotten Revelation 19:8 that we just read? So our wedding garments, our wedding gown is going to be made up of the righteous acts of the saints. And every single act, every single work that you did for the glory of God is going to put a smile on Jesus' face, and you will be rewarded for those acts. Have you got that? And so his... And then the wedding feast will take place, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's what's going to be going on for 7 years. And that's just my introduction tonight, okay? So y'all are in trouble. We're going to be here a while tonight, and that's okay. We're going to be doing things like this for a long time. Everybody smile. All right. Now, first of all, Jesus is going to get us ready for this wedding ceremony, okay? We're in the betrothal period, but boom, when you're raptured, you got a new body, and your body will be then ready for heaven. And so we're going to head up to the what the Bible calls the Bema seat. Now, look at Romans 14:10 with me. Romans 14:10. And like I said, if y'all can't get to these quick enough tonight, just jot them down on pen and paper. But I want you all, there is a thing called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. Romans 14:10 says this, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the what? The judgment seat of Christ." The Father has committed all judgment to the Son. You'll find that in John's Gospel. Then turn right in your Bibles, just a few pages, to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, you are not going to be judged for your sin. Where did that take place? That's right, at the cross at Calvary. But our works are going to be judged at the Bema seat of Christ. We're all going to stand before the Lord, and our works are going to be judged. So now you need to go to the classic passage on that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So just turn left in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation," 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15. Did I tell you right? Okay. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with," now here they are, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire." All of our works are going to go through the refiner's fire. Okay? "And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." Somebody say amen. Amen. "If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, wood, hay, and stubble are those works that we have done for our glory and in our strength and in our power and in our wisdom so that others can see, wow, did you see that? Did you see him? Did you see what she did? And all of those works are going to be put into the refiner's fire along with gold and what? And what else? Precious stones, yes. And those are the works that will last. They'll make it through the fire, the refiner's fire. But what's going to happen to hay and wood and stubble? They're going to burn up. And you see, those are works that are wasted. Those are works that we did in the flesh. Works that we did that we wanted to be recognized for. But only those things that we have done for Christ, for His glory and His honor and His praise, all of those things are going to last forever. And guess what? You'll be rewarded for those works. And that's the wedding gown that you're going to be wearing. So what does that say to us tonight? We better go to work for Jesus. Right? I mean, we need to be working for His glory and honor. And the name of this church is what? Second Mile Church. We're going the extra mile for Jesus. We're going the second mile for Jesus so that He gets honor and glory. And by the way, that's gonna help you on your wedding day. Your wedding gown is going to be, and there will be some folks whose works have been judged, and all of their works will burn up. And there will be folks, somebody was telling me last week about a deathbed conversion. What will someone like that have to offer the Lord? a wasted, burned up life. What do y'all want to hear when you see the Lord? Yeah. Well done, good and faithful servant. So the purified works of gold and silver and precious stones will be rewarded. Well, the next question that comes to my mind, what are the rewards? Anybody else asking that question? One person? Help me, Jesus. Turn to Matthew 25. I won't read this whole passage, but you need to get an idea. Matthew 24 talks about end time problems, and Matthew 25 is talking about end time parables. And it is in Matthew 25, in verses 14 through 30, that the parable of the talents is talking about. And I think you can get a glimpse of what's going on in this with these works being judged at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, and what these rewards are going to look like. Let's see here. Look at verse 18, Matthew 25. But he who had received one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. What does that sound like? You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22, he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents besides them. And his Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you what? Ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And was the Lord happy with that? No, he said, at least you could have done is take it to the bank and I could have drawn interest on it. And so I think that's a parable, but I think that's an illustration of some of the rewards are going to be positions and places of servants. I asked y'all a few minutes ago, said somebody's going to get to be the mayor of Clarksville during the millennial, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Someone's going to get to be maybe the president over here. I don't know, but there's going to be positions and places of servants. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I'll just give you one more of these. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And so I believe some of these rewards are going to be positions and places of service where we can serve the Lord. Those will be those rewards. And there will be, he said over there in 1 Corinthians 3, you remember that? Some will be saved yet so as by fire. There will be some that make it to heaven by the skin of their... They just barely make it. That's what the Bible says. So there may be some deathbed conversion folks there. And there may be some folks who all of their works have been burned up. But can you imagine anything any worse than just barely sneaking in the back door of heaven? Yeah, maybe one. But I want a grand entrance, don't y'all? Oh, Cal, I see you. I know you're here by grace, but God bless you. You made your mistakes, but I know your heart. Well done, son. Come on in. And enter into the joy of your... Isn't that what y'all want to hear? Yeah, that's what y'all want to hear. And then there's some... There's five crowns that the Bible talks about. I want to give you all these. It's going to take a minute to go to all these, but there's going to be some crowns given out as rewards. Okay, are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for more rain or what? Look at 1 Corinthians 9. We're right there, so we'll just look at this one. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 27. This is called the imperishable or the incorruptible crown for bringing our bodies under subjection or not giving into the lust of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 27. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown, an incorruptible crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be qualified. And so the incorruptible crown, the imperishable crown, will be given to those who are able to war against the lust of the flesh in their own body, who brought their bodies under subjection and not giving in to the lustful, prideful things of the flesh. And then the second crown I want you guys to see is the crown of rejoicing for being a soul winner. Woo, you're going to be glad you got that John 3:16 bracelet on. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. If you want to write these verses down, that's fine. I can get them for you. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" The crown of rejoicing is for that of a soul winner. If you're winning souls in this life, you're not going to have any more opportunities to win anybody to Christ in heaven. Now's the opportunity to do that. And so there will be some soul winners' crowns. The crown of rejoicing. And then the third crown is the crown of life or enduring temptation. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hebrews. James. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man. And let me just say a word about that word blessed. That is a terrible translation because we don't have a good word for it. It's the Greek word makarios, but it doesn't mean blessed. It means whoo-wee. Can y'all say that? Whoo-wee. That's what that word means. Blessed, I like it now, is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, when he has been tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Isn't that a great reward? The crown of life for enduring temptation. So don't grow weary, my brother. Don't grow weary in well-doing, my sister. For in due time you shall reap if you do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me hear a Baptist shout in here today. Woo, glory. So that's the crown of life. And here's the crown of glory. Brother Shep, you're going to like this one. 1 Peter chapter 5. And listen to this, verses 1 through 4. The elders, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And listen to this. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That's for the pastors and the ministers who are faithful in their service to the flock. That's called the crown of glory. And there's one more, the crown of righteousness. This is for those who are faithfully looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in here that's anticipating the return of Christ? 7, 8, 9. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're anticipating and anxiously awaiting the return of Christ and you're getting ready, look at 2 Timothy. Y'all, are y'all having a good time tonight?
Amen.
Just go ahead and lie to me. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. I like this. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally," Paul says, "there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." The crown. Whew, the crown of what? The crown of glory. The crown of righteousness. Oh my goodness. And so those are the five crowns. And so there'll be positions and places we're going to reign and rule with Him. Those are some of the rewards. And then these crowns. Now, let's go back to the opening scriptures that we read tonight. And what does the Bible say? You remember Revelation 4 and verse 10? What are we going to do with those crowns? We're going to lay them down. We're just going to lay them down? We're going to lay them at whose feet? The feet of Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? You know, some of these old songs we sing, y'all are not theologically correct. Y'all get that, don't you? Oh, glory, what a wonderful day. I'm going to march around all over this, with this crown, all over God's promised land. We are not going to be marching and strutting with these crowns on in heaven. That is a terrible theological statement in a song that I used to really like. Oh, glory, what a wonderful day. We're going to march around with God's crown on. We're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus is what we're going to do. So when you're singing some song, I don't care whether it's new or whether it's old, make sure it's biblically correct.
Amen.
Here's another one. Y'all remember a song that talks about the streets of gold? Guess what? There's only one street in heaven. There's no S on street in Revelation. That's another sermon for another time. But anyways, the songs that we're singing, they need to be biblically correct. I've really upset y'all's apple carts tonight. I can tell that just by looking at you. Be sure what we're singing about is right. I'll put on a crown and march around all over God's promised land. That's the words for it. And that is theologically incorrect. Have I made my point?
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you want to lay at Jesus' feet? Will you have any crowns to lay at Jesus' feet? Why do you do what you do? Did I tell y'all the story a few years ago? We having our annual business conference in Waynesboro at the church I pastor, and we handed out this list of where everybody's serving and what everybody's doing, and one of the ushers got left off the list. Did I tell y'all that one? I did. Well, he threw a fit. Came up to me afterwards. Of course, he was blaming the head usher. He left my name off on purpose. Why in my name? Do you see my name on here, Pat? No, I don't see it. Why in my name on here? I mean, just threw a fit. And so I let him act like a fool for a minute or two. And then I said, "Why do you usher every Sunday? So that somebody will see your name on a piece of paper?" And I want to tell you, he dropped his head and he went out. Why do you do what you do? If you don't do it for God's glory and God's praise and His honor to put a smile on His face, that work is wasted. It's going to be burned up.
Amen.
Why do you do what you do? Who is it that you're serving? We don't serve man, we serve Him.
Amen.
And we do it for His glory and honor. And just think, the one that's going to reward you is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything much better than that. And that's why I said I can't think of anything much worse than handing him an empty, wasted, burned up life. And the things we're doing now in the Spirit are going to live on for all of eternity. And all those things will go through the refiner's fire. Jesus is the righteous judge. He's the one handing out the rewards, and he knows what he's doing. All right, so for 7 years, I don't know how long that's going to take, that Bema Seat judgment, but I want to get to the marriage supper. Anybody else here want to get there? No? Okay. Let's go back to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him what?
Glory.
Give him what?
Glory.
For the marriage of the Lamb has come. You see, we're going to be married. Now he's given out the rewards. He's given out the positions and places of service. He's given out those crowns. And now it says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. How have we made ourselves ready? At the judgment seat of Christ. And now we're clothed in our wedding gowns for all of those things, that the righteous acts of the saints that we did down here. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, as Bonnie said, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, that's John, write. And there's that word again. What does that word mean? Y'all going to get it right one day. Woo-wee! Maybe y'all got another word for that. I don't know. Are those who are called to the marriage supper. You see these stages of this Jewish wedding? We're in what period are we in right now? The betrothal period. And the marriage ceremony is taking place here. Okay? And so we're going to be, the bride of Christ is going to be married to the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third and final stage of a Jewish wedding, of a Jewish marriage, is that celebration that sometimes is a seven-day feast. And so let me finish up verse 9. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And so we're going to enjoy the ceremony and the supper. And we've made ourselves ready. And we'll be given our beauty treatments, you know, all of our ladies. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight to have all of your spots and your blemishes and your warts and all that stuff taken away and taken? That's going to happen for everybody at the judgment seat of Christ. All the spots, blemishes, and wrinkles will be gone. Say gone. Saved to sin no more. And now we're clothed in this beautiful wedding garment, the righteous acts of the saints that are done for the Lord. We'll be beautiful inside and out, and we'll be presented to the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what the wedding music is going to be like? Now, I'm just guessing here. I'm using my sanctified imagination. The cathedrals would be upset with me here. You know, is that wedding music I hear? I don't know if y'all remember that song. Three of you do. Look back up here at Revelation 19 at the top, verse 1. The word hallelujah is used four times in the first six verses of this chapter. The word hallelujah, you can count them, is used four times in the first six verses. And of course, the word hallelujah means what? In any language, means what? Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah! That means praise the Lord. And you can go to any country. I'm going to Israel tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. And when we get over there, no matter where, we're going to fly into France and then catch a plane from there to Amman, Jordan. And in France, in Jordan, and then we're flying from Jordan. I can't wait to see Petra. Whew. And then we're going to fly into, and in any of those countries over there, The one word that everybody will understand is hallelujah. It's said the same way in every country. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at these. All praise will go to the Lord for His salvation. Verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. And so all praise will go to the Lord because of His salvation. All praise will go to the Lord because He's done things right. How many of y'all know Jesus just does everything right? Verse 2, for true and righteous are His judgments because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. We'll talk about the harlot later on. Again, they say what? Her smoke rises up forever. And so all praise will go to the Lord because He's made everything right. And then look at the third set of hallelujahs. All praise will go to Him because He's our God. Look at verses 4 and 5. And the 24 elders, that's all the people of God there. The 24 elders and the four living creatures, that's all of creation, fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, amen.
Hallelujah.
Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And so all praise is going to go to Him because our God reigns. Look at verse 6. And I heard, and as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying,
hallelujah.
Saying what?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Saying what?
Hallelujah.
That's better. The sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. I think the hallelujah chorus is what we're going to be singing at the marriage ceremony. Can y'all think of anything better? Well, the Lord may think of something better, but that sounds pretty good to me, the hallelujah chorus. And so the praise is going to be so loud, you won't be able to hear yourself think. For those of you that think we're supposed to sit in a quiet, reverent manner and not ever say anything or do anything, you're going to be highly disappointed in heaven. Because sometimes heaven's going to be so loud, it's like you're under Niagara Falls and you can't hear anything else but praise to the Lord and our God. What a ceremony this is going to be. However, when you go to a wedding today, and all these people are coming in, the guests and then the attendants and the poor old groomsmen, you know, they're all coming in. And then all of a sudden, da, 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 all eyes are on whom? Not so here. All eyes here will be on the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the wedding celebration now begins. The bride will be there. Who's that? The church. And what is our gown and garment going to look like? Yes, 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 yes. And then the invited guests will be there. The Old Testament saints from John the Baptist, all the sages and the seers and the prophets, all of those Old Testament saints will be at this wedding. And you remember John the Baptist said over there, I believe it's in John chapter 3, John called himself a friend of the bridegroom. And so all of the Old Testament saints will be there. John was just a friend, not the bride. All the Old Testament saints are going to be there. These folks were saved. You see, Old Testament saints were saved kind of, this is a poor term, saved on credit. They were saved by looking forward to the cross by faith. We're saved today by looking backwards to the cross by faith. Does that make sense? Okay. And so, what about the tribulation saints? Well, Revelation 7, 9 through 14. Let's look at that real quickly. Revelation 7, 9 through 14. They're going to be there at this wedding ceremony and supper. Revelation 7, look at verse 9. John says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." All God's people are going to be there just before His return to earth to set up His millennial kingdom. We're all going to be there. Now, what are we going to be doing during that time? We know what we're going to be doing at the judgment seat after the betrothal and the ceremony during the supper. What are we going to be doing? I'm so glad you asked. Let me give you three scriptures. Okay, y'all just hang in here with me. We're going somewhere with this. Look at Luke 22:30. Luke 22:30. What are we going to be doing at this marriage table, at this marriage supper? What are we going to be doing? Luke 22 and verse 30. Oh, let's back up to 29. Luke 22:29. "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Woo! Isn't that good? Wow. I know I'm giving you information overload tonight. But what are we going to be doing at the marriage celebration? We're going to be feasting and partying. We're going to be eating and drinking with the Lord. We're going to drink that supper. Eat and drink that supper we had this. That's going to pale in comparison to what we're going to do up there. Now there's another scripture I wanted to share with you. Look at Matthew 26:29. Turn left, Matthew 26:29. I didn't want y'all to miss this one either. Matthew 26:29. "But I say unto you," Matthew 26:29, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Whew. And then here is the one that just blew me away, y'all. Go back to Luke. This is the one that blew me away. I'd never really seen this one before. I've read it many times. But you know how the scriptures, you'll be reading something and all of a sudden you've read it 100 times and all of a sudden, boom, jumps out at you. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12, 35, 36, and 37. I want y'all to see this. Luke 12, 35, 36, 37. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately." Here's that word again. What does that mean? It doesn't mean blessing. It means whoo-ee. Can y'all say whoopee? That's better. Still not there, but don't say blessed, okay? We just don't have a word for that word, really. Where am I? Verse 37. "Whoopee are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you," now listen to this, "he will gird himself and have them all sit down to eat and will come and serve them." He's going to serve us. Can you believe that? He's going to serve me? Well, he's done it before. He served at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he's going to do it again on this day Can you imagine the Lord serving us at that great feast? I'd be like Simon Peter, Lord, go sit down. You don't need to be doing this. But that's just like the Lord, isn't it? And by the way, what has the devil ever done for you? What has the devil ever done for you? Yeah. You can serve the devil, but he'll never serve you. Oh, I like that. Let me say that again. You can serve the devil, but he ain't ever going to serve you. That's bad grammar, but great theology. Jesus is the one we ought to be serving. And one day, when the bride sits down, the groom is going to serve his bride. We're going to eat and drink with him. Phew. I told y'all sometimes the celebration would last for a week if the groom had a better financial stability, if he had better than a crystal budget, these things would go on for a week. This is going to go on for 7 years. Bowls of joy, layers of love, goblets of hope, plates of peace. I can hear the tinkling of that silverware right now. You hear it? It's not far away. It's coming. It's going to happen. At the rapture, he's going to catch us up. At the judgment seat, he's going to clean us up. And at the marriage supper, he's going to cheer us up.
Amen.
Whew. And then we're off on a 1,000-year honeymoon. That's about all the honey I can get out of that Bible beehive tonight. But can I just go ahead and testify? God is good. And all the time. I don't know what God's doing in your life tonight. But friend, like that parable on the bridegroom, you need to be ready. Because when he comes for his people, the bride, poof, we're gone in a millisecond. But if you're not a part of the church, if you're not blood bought, blood washed, if you're not a born again believer, you get left behind. And you're going to have to face the great tribulation period, and there'll be nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And I'll talk about this in weeks to come, but you will believe the lie of the Antichrist, and you will submit to his authority, and you will surrender to him. Oh, there'll be millions of people saved during the great tribulation period. But it'll come from people who've never heard the gospel. In these faraway places, in these third world countries, there's even people here in America that have not heard the gospel. But if you've ever heard the gospel and rejected it and turned away from it or ignored it or just put it off, there's going to be hell to pay. But you see, Jesus went to your hell for you. Why would you not want to receive him tonight as your Lord and Savior if you're not ready? Every single church meeting I've ever been in, there's always been a lost person there. Always. And tonight, the message is be saved tonight. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin and receive by faith what Christ did for you on that cross 2,000 years ago, and be willing to call upon his name by repenting and turning from your sin and turning to Christ, and call on him to save. The Bible says anyone can be saved. Church members, good people like Billy was talking about this morning in Sunday school, God saves people from the uttermost to the guttermost. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. And maybe you're here and you are a believer. And you need to start living and make your life count. Because there's coming a judgment seat for us. And our works will be judged. So just bow your head. Close your eyes tonight if you would. In a quiet time of reflection and response, let's just let the Lord do His thing here this evening. And if you need Christ, you just cry out to God and He'll hear your prayer. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll be glad to. If you prayed that salvation prayer tonight for the first and only time, if you really meant business with God, don't you do this if you don't mean it. But if you prayed to receive Christ tonight, would you just throw your hand up in the air? Everybody's got their head bowed. Nobody's looking around. Just wave at me. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody here tonight? All right. If you're here tonight, you obviously claim to know Christ. If He were to come tonight, would you be ashamed or embarrassed? Or would you be ready to meet Him? Say, Pastor, would you just pray for me that I'd be ready, and I'd get ready, and I'd start doing what I do for Jesus' sake? Just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Slip your hand right up in there, and I'll pray for you right now. Thank you. Hands everywhere. Okay. Anybody else? Lord, You've seen our hands tonight. But more importantly, You see our hearts. Oh God, get us ready for the great and mighty and awesome day of the Lord. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. We surrender to Your way and Your will and Your Word. That's where the power comes in. And so God, help us to do what we do for Your glory and Your honor alone. Because that's all that matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope y'all have a great week. Remember, there'll be no Wednesday night service this Wednesday night because we're gone. And then we'll have Sunday morning. Yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing Brother Irvin with y'all. Y'all will probably get ready to fire me after you hear him and then call him. But he's a fine young preacher. He's just got another gear white folks don't have. Maybe that'll clue you into something there. But anyways, and then there'll be no Sunday evening service, and we'll be home on the 31st. So, any questions, comments? We got done in an hour. I never believed we'd do all that in an hour. Wow. Whoopee! All right. Only in the book of Revelation. No S on Revelation, no. Right. That's kind of my thing. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? But hallelujah is the only time that word's mentioned. I'm almost positive it was in the Psalms. In the New Testament. Okay, I got you, Joe. I got you. All right. Any other comments? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. There are 333 prophecies about His first coming. Did He come the first time? He's coming again. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you. I'll be praying for y'all. Y'all got those John 3:16 bracelets on? You remember the soul winner's crown? Go out and share Jesus with somebody this week. Amen. Bring them to the Lord. That's not the pastor's job. That's our job. Amen. That is our job. That's our responsibility. We've got one life to lead them to the Lord. One life. Y'all all work with people. Y'all all live next door to folks, unless they floated away this afternoon. But we've all got one great opportunities every day to speak a good word for Jesus. Whew, I'm ready to go tonight, Shep. Are you?
Amen. Get out of here.
Come up here! Yeah. All right. God bless y'all.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.